Well, I'm so glad you've decided to listen in today to this sermon. It's a very special sermon, and I'm sure that before it's finished that you will see exactly what I mean when I say special. All right, I've entitled my sermon today, The Power of the Weaker Vessel. The Power of the Weaker Vessel. Now, that's already stirred up some curiosity, I know. So please continue to listen. I'm glad, really. Please be advised, though, that the content of this message may be a little bit disturbing to some. Nevertheless, it is what God has laid on my heart. I truly believe it's time to speak out on behalf of wives everywhere. Although you will have to listen to the entire message to really see and understand the great power God has bestowed upon every wife. I'll say that again, the great power that God has bestowed upon every wife. All right? Now, if you listen defensively or you're filled with skepticism, well, what you will do, and you will lock up God's blessings and the power that He wants you to have. So please keep an open and clear mind until this message is finished. Now, the following sermon is seldom, if ever, preached from the church pulpit. But now it's time. Let's open in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I praise Thee. I lift up Thy holy name, Lord. I ask, Lord, that You would give me utterance today as I deliver this message. I pray that hearts will be open. I pray that ears will be unstopped, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that when all is said and done, that the blessings will flow. And those, Lord, who have heard Your word proclaimed this day will be glad that they listened. Thank You now. In the name of Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Now we'll begin in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31, of course, you know what I'm getting at right now when I say Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, right? Well, I've called my message the power of the weaker vessel. Okay, now many of you are already familiar with the story, as I said, of the virtuous woman. Now, if you women will allow the devil to have the preeminence over you, you'll miss the greatest blessing you could ever have. Yes, you will. Everything you'll hear is based completely on the scriptures as outlined in the 1611 King James Bible. Okay? Now, let us begin. Follow along in your Bible if you wish. Proverbs 31, verse 2, our launching point today. The word of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. His mother. He got that? His mother. Verse 2 and 3. Now listen very carefully. What? My son? And what? The son of my womb? And what? The son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Proverbs 31, verses 2 and 3. Powerful, powerful words from the Holy Scriptures. Proverbs 31 is one of the most beautiful chapters in all of Scripture. It's about, of course, the virtuous woman. The virtuous woman. Now, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. Verse 19. She layeth her hand to the spindle, Verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing. 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Wow. Praise God. I say praise God for the virtuous woman. Are you in her company? Are you a woman full of virtue? How often have you heard a message preached about this woman, this virtuous woman? I, for one, cannot recall. Why is that, do you suppose? Is it because of the time we live in? Could it be because the virtuous woman nowadays is so hard to find in these modern times? Why is it that we speak not much or preach not upon the virtuous woman? I believe there are virtuous women all around us. All around us. It's just that they don't allow God to give them His power. And this is the very title, as I said, of my sermon: The Power of the Virtuous Vessel. Excuse me. That's not the title I gave it. It's the power of the weaker vessel. And you're going to say, what's the difference come the end of the story? Well, it all began a long time ago in the book of Genesis. In the garden, that's called Eden. Chapter 2, 21 and 22. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Two perfect people in a perfect world. But the woman, unfortunately, was beguiled by the devil and brought forth sin. Sin. In 1 Timothy 2:14 we read, Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. The woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Now this may hurt somewhat, but if Eve had obeyed God when tempted by the devil, then the whole course of mankind would have been altered. The whole course of mankind would have been altered had Eve not been deceived by the serpent, that old devil. I ask you, if Eve had not transgressed, would the devil have had any victory? Sin had to begin somewhere. And when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven and wanted to vent his frustrations, he obviously knew where to begin. With the weaker vessel. With the weaker vessel. Don't be alarmed, ladies. Don't be alarmed. Listen on. Through time though, even to this present age, the role of woman versus man has run amok. Yes, it has. In the marketplace, in the business sectors of the world, when women like Germaine Greer and Gloria Steinem first initiated a plan to free women from the dungeons of family torment and to begin their fight for women's rights, And that great liberation wheel began a rolling. Yes, it did. It's then that man began his downward spiral that continues to this very day. Not only is a good man hard to find nowadays, but any kind of man is hard to find. Women want it not only to reap equality with men, but also to become a new master race over those whom they had once served. But it's not a matter of equality. It's not. God's perfect plan was being tossed aside, and a new age of sin was spreading over the globe. The world was now re-entering the Sodom and Gomorrah age. And only the return of Jesus Christ will stunt its growth. And eventually, it will be committed fully to the pit. The abominations of mankind will have come full circle. And it all started, yes, it all started over a fruit tree and a woman. A fruit tree and a woman. And now that old devil has succeeded in luring mothers and wives from the old homestead setting, having convinced them of their captivity, the way is now clear for Satan to carry out his master plan, a plan of chaos and confusion. He knows he can't go one-on-one with God. He was already defeated by God. So he's chosen the weaker vessel and made her strong in her own selfish right. That's what he's done. The home that once was the amazing vestibule of family beauty and purity has now crumbled and fallen to the very edge of the abyss and will teeter there until Christ returns. And now that we believe to know how we arrived at our current state, let us further examine the devil's part in all of it. Again, I say, ladies, hang in there. Please, there's a real blessing to be had coming your way. First, the devil assembled the weaker vessels. Got them to come together with the same ideas that he would have them do. He showed the wives and the mothers that their place was no longer in the home, slaving over a hot stove and being held captive by their own children. Oh, no. He lured them to an enticing arena of fun and freedom from their drudgery. He did this by opening up exciting new prospects and convincing them they were not answerable to anyone, not even God. Not even God. He introduced them to his world, a world glowing with soft lights, warm, gentle winds, where the joy of the flesh was no longer denied. And man was for pleasure and not for power. They came in droves, filled with lust and great determination for a new life. Homes fell apart like never before. The children made their own rules. The husbands and fathers sensed they were losing one mainstay of a happy home. In fact, the only mainstay of a happy home. Everyone was doing their own thing, and God was shut up in a closet somewhere. Bibles became thickened with dust, and the man who was once the head of the woman had lost his male identifier. And he was no longer in control of his offspring. Meanwhile, the devil laughs. He laughs. He senses victory. The role of mum and dad now becomes mum and mum, and dad and dad. God's laws are trashed and thrown aside. The children who have been watching from the sidelines become confused and seek release through alcohol and drugs. The entire family, as we remember it, is now in total disarray. Another victory for Satan. God cannot bear to look any longer. And Jesus Christ is of none effect. Ah, but what of the remnant? The remnant, the mums and dads who continue to hold fast. The minority, the believers, the steadfast. What of them? And now that crafty old devil has found a new ally. The very words of God. Yes, he will use these very words in his attempt to destroy the remaining homes. He will. Women of faith, you have survived the devil's enticements, and yet there is a great want within you to be equal in all things which God has appointed unto man. And if that is not enough, you also want him to partake in the chores of the woman. Sharing is fine, but should never be a prerequisite to a happy marriage. For some chores a woman does can cause a man to stumble and weaken his manhood. Not pride. That's a different thing. Man has to have manhood, or else he's just simply no good. If a robber comes to the door, is it not the man's duty to deal with the situation? If the snow and the walk need shoveling, is it not for the man to do? If the grass needs cutting, is it not for the man to do? If the family is in need of clothing, is it not the man's responsibility? If food needs buying, is it not the man's need to buy it? And if the children require a reprimand, is it not for the man to make that application? This was surely the way God intended. However, with the man's approval, certain compromises may be allowed. I said certain compromises may be allowed, like him doing the dishes, making the bed, vacuuming, dusting, or even changing the odd diaper. But unless there is an illness with the woman, these chores should not befall a man. Likewise, the chores of the man should not impede the woman. If the weaker vessel does the needs of the stronger vessel, then the word of God is compromised. The man begins to lose his requirement, and his spirit becomes bruised and tainted. Soon he is of none effect. His words are no longer heard, and soon their application wanes and becomes obscure. The children lose their direction and their guidance, as mom and dad fight for their own identity and supremacy in the home. What was once a strong, Bible-based home is now nothing more than an outhouse for Satan. Another victory for Satan. Thousands of homes are breaking up every day, and it's all because they've kicked God out the door. Yes, they have. Tell me, if you will, of one man who would leave his home and family if the fire had not gone out. Godly men have godly homes, and godly women have godly husbands. If the yoke between a husband and a wife is broken asunder, it will lose its stability, and there will be no defense against the evil one. Only God, only our great Creator can restore that which the devil has stolen. Vanity and pride, well, they're the devil's footprints. Ladies, I urge you to listen carefully. If you want to hold fast to the man that God has given you, then never, never lord over him. Did you hear that? Never lord over him. It's the man Abraham that Sarah called Lord. That's how much respect she had for her husband. She called him Lord. Now, I'm not saying you call your husband Lord. No. But we're talking about respect. This is the whole idea. The respect you have and the honor for your husband. No, your man's not perfect. He still leaves dirty socks about the house. He eats too much of your fine cooking. He allows his countenance to change. But inside, he's still the man you love. And he sometimes stumbles with his words in the presence of company. He comes home late from his golf game because he was held up by the foursome in front of him. Perhaps he watches a little too much sports on TV. And he leaves the bath towel hanging on the bathroom doorknob. And his trousers, are they not strewn about the bed or hanging on the door? Yes, he's far, far from perfect. But when he wraps his arms around you and gently whispers, "I love you, baby," aren't those the words you need to hear? Aren't they? Never, never turn your back on him unless he's opening the door for you. Never give him a cold shoulder unless he needs an ice pack. Never give him an angry look unless it's followed by a smile. But give him praise even when he doesn't deserve it. Give him understanding when you don't understand. Give him a hug when he's unhuggable. Give him a thank you just for being who he is. Give him your love when he's unlovable. You know, women today like to be tough, overbearing, put on muscles. Many like to be in control and have the last word, even when it's not amen. Women today like to have power. They show this at the expense of their husbands and their households. When the real source of their power is Almighty God. Women today don't like to be told they're wrong even when they are. If you're driving and she says, go this way, and you go that way, you're wrong, and you'll hear about it. Women today don't like you speaking your mind in front of company, even if you're right. They'll tear you apart when you get home or on the way home. Sometimes in the car before you get home, they'll let you know they're mine. Women today don't want you to make decisions unless it was their idea to begin with. Women today have all the right answers, even when they're wrong. Show me a woman in charge of her own house, and I'll show you a woman who lives alone. And those, my friends, are the cold, hard facts of Scripture. Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Proverbs 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That verse is repeated in Proverbs 25:24. Proverbs 21:19. It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Why? Why did God put all these sayings in His holy book? Proverbs 27:15. A continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Only one more, ladies. Hang in there. Finally, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Do you shame your husband? I once knew a woman who always told her husband he was sick in the head. Until one day, another woman told him how wise he was. How is it with you? Does the heart of your husband safely trust in you? Will you do him good and not evil in all the days of his life? Are strength and honor your clothing? Do you open your mouth with wisdom? Is your tongue the law of kindness? Again I say, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Far above rubies. There are some husbands who look at verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife. And run with it, even use it to flog their wives mentally and physically. These husbands are not saved husbands. A saved husband will properly discern God's means and will rule his house as a man of God should. This is an example of how Satan uses God's own words and misapplies them to create chaos in the home. When a house goes bad, it's because of the spoil within. A woman only becomes a lady when she allows her husband to become a man. You can read more for your consideration in Ephesians 5, 22 to 24. By the way, let's just go there and read it now. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The husband is not commanded to be the head of the wife. He is the head. Even as Christ is the head of the church. A wife who submits and understands what God has ordained for her life is in all truth liberated from the shackles of world opinion. Submit to your own husband as you would submit unto the Lord. As Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands are to love their wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. This is important, ladies. You have no control over the husband loving you, but you can control you loving him. And when love is given, love is received. When love is given, love is received. Even if the husband messes up and does not fulfill his role as a responsible model for the family, that's no excuse for you to desert your God-given responsibility. This is all part of the power you have from God to fill that virtuous role. Obedience to your husband is obedience to Christ. Tell me, if Jesus came to your house, would you not treat him like a king, the king he is? Of course you would. So this is how God wants you to treat your husband. And don't go off the deep end and say things like, if he tells me to get him a beer, should I get him a beer? We're not talking about these things. Would you get Jesus a beer? Of course not. He wouldn't ask for one. He might say, I thirst. Would you bring him a can of beer or a glass of water? Ladies, let's keep this in perspective. We're dealing with that which is spiritual, not carnal. And if you, as a wife, are truly saved, then you will understand. You will understand. Your power as a Christian wife can only be increased through your acts of obedience to the Word of God. And don't say, well, I'll do it if He will. He's not you! We're talking about wives being submissive to their own husbands. If you don't understand that, then you'd better examine your own salvation. We're not talking about whippings and torture and child abuse out in the woodshed somewhere. God blesses obedience. obedience to this very topic which I speak. Did you know there are documented cases where wives have so loved and reverenced their husband that their male ego has completely fallen apart? It's gone. There's no more ego there. Getting your husband his slippers instead of letting the dog do it. Getting your husband his slippers when he usually has to find them himself. Blessing. Having the house clean and in order when he returns home from work. Blessing. Showing an interest in the things he likes to do. Especially if they're for the Lord. Blessing. Soft, kind words of support. When he's sick and downtrodden. Blessing. Blessing. The point is, and it happens, the better you treat your husband, the more he will begin to respond to you. Perhaps slowly at first in small ways, as he feels the need to show you just how much he loves you and respects you. May only start with an invite to McDonald's when you weren't even expecting it. Or more help around the house. You may notice a change in the way he talks to you, looks at you, calls you honey, dear, even sweetheart. Do you see, wives, what God is doing here? There can only be one head, but you can share that power and the blessings together. And you, the weaker vessel, will not only carry the label of a godly and virtuous woman, but even better, you will be showing God how much you love Him. Warning, wives. If you insist on being equal with your husbands, then there would be two heads in your house. And later, when your children wanted their independence, then the home would have many heads. Something with many heads can be described as a monster. If you, Mrs., try to assume your husband's headship role, you know what would happen? He would become a wimp, a useless wimp, maybe even a homosexual. He would lose his God-given identity and your marriage would suffer greatly. Madam, if God meant for you to be head over the man, He would have said so. The number one foolish mistake that wives make is to attempt to stop their husbands from making a dumb decision. Yeah? That's right. Trying to make them stop from making a dumb decision when in fact you should have given it to God. Now, I'm not saying you don't talk to your husband, but you do not accuse him of making a dumb decision. There is a difference. Remember, if God ordains your marriage, He'll also ordain a wise decision. Any decision made where God is not in it is like a heart looking for a pulse and is without wisdom. Don't try to play God. You're not qualified. Unwise decisions made by the husband will ultimately rise to the surface once God has finished dealing with them. if God wanted you to play correctional officer just because he made a bad decision, he would have given you the headship over him. Stick to the scriptures, ladies. The problem with many wives today is they're too proud to stand by and allow their husbands to make a bad decision. How else are they going to learn? Just move aside and allow God to deal with them. The more you trust God, the more you will grow and learn that He is able to do what you're not able to do. And that is to deal with your husband. Wise. If you want to please God, then acknowledge your husband as the head over you. How do you do this? You ask. Love him. No matter what. Love him. Praise him. No matter what. Praise him. Lift him up. Reverence him. Encourage him. Submit to him. And separate yourself from the meanderings of those who disagree. In conclusion, you can please God or your pride, but you can't do both. Ladies, unless you accept the full word of God in all its righteousness, you will never possess the power He wants you to have. The power He wants you to have. The power of the weaker vessel. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I pray for wives everywhere that belong to Thee, especially, Lord, they would understand the Scriptures and what's been said here today. For no good can come from something that is no good. But good comes from above, from the great Master of goodness. Oh Lord, help them to understand, and help us as husbands to understand as well, that we may both bear the credentials of a child of the King. Thank you, Lord. For Jesus' sake, amen.